Star Yehuda, the Torah Way, Rabbi Yehuda Steinberg.
Good Chodesh. There was a lawyer lying on his deathbed, and his family were all standing around thinking, how can they help him? Suddenly he turns around to one of them and he says, can you get hold of me, can you get hold for me a Bible? I want something to look at, a Bible. So they quickly look around, eventually they find one, and he's looking at it, a Bible, and he's flipping the pages, going back and forth. So they say to him, you know, this is the first time we've ever seen you reading this. What are you trying to do now? So he said, I'm about to face a very, very big court case. And one of the main exhibits for the prosecution, or the main documents for the prosecution, is this text. So I'm making sure to find as many loopholes as I can. It's a joke. But unfortunately, it reflects a certain truth. And that is that many people, they look at a pasuk, at a Torah, at a chumash, at a mitzvah, and they say, well, the mitzvah says this, I have to do that, but in other circumstances, if I can find a loophole where I don't need to keep it, there's a whole business where people teach others how to keep to paying only the tax, and no more tax planning, where a person works out the taxes like this, but if you can find the whole complicated system that you don't have to pay legally the tax, you're okay. When it comes to taxes, that's fine. When it comes to the Torah, that's not the way to be. The Ramban already in his famous letter says, V'chasher tokum in ha-sefer, when you get up from learning a sefer, t'chavis v'shalomadito, you should look for what you've learned. How can you keep it? A person is obligated to look at a sefer as a way of life. What am I supposed to be learning from this? What can I learn from this? And that's a very important avoider. Whenever a person comes across a pasuk, a message, and this is a tremendous avoider in life, is to look at the Torah not as a set of rules, but rather as instructions of how to live a life, a derech of life. Shush Fol Hirsch in his Akdamot Tehillim, a beautiful sefer, gone to Tehillim, he writes that his happiest memories of his youth was that he would take each day a capital Tehillim or a pasuk of Tehillim and spend the day thinking, how am I supposed to change my life according to this pasuk or peyuk? And at the end of the day, he would tell it over to his father, who would either compliment it or criticize it or encourage. He just describes there. And that's how he used to live his life, looking at a pasuk, how is this supposed to teach me? There's a beautiful sefer, I should really say a set of svarim, called Eved HaMelech by Shmuel Homino. It is not so well known, but recently I've seen that people are bringing them out again, because the old edition is very, very difficult print, but people bring them out now in a new edition. Shmuel Homino has got a set of svarim called Eved HaMelech. And the theme of all of his svarim is exactly what we've just said, that what he does is, he takes every parsha, every pasuk in the Torah, and in Tanakh, and what he does is, he tries to develop what message can we learn from that? What are we supposed to learn? And in his Akdama to say for Yeshua, it's very marich, a tremendous length to prove that this by the Torah is obvious. Every pasuk of the Torah is supposed to teach us the word Torah is Lashon Hayvah, to teach. What he does now is he goes through Nach and he says the same thing applies to Nach. That means you read a story in Yeshua, in Shoftim, in Shmuel, whatever it is, you have an obligation, to work through what does it apply to me. He brings many, many proofs. I just mentioned a couple that we should be aware. in Shulchan Aruch Chosh Mishpat is paskant that if somebody has a shtar that so and so owes him money, and the person has already paid him up, and the person never bothered asking for the shtar, and he leaves the shtar in his house, he's over on a lav. Lav Divi Kabbalah, which says, Atashkein Bo'alecho Avlo. Don't leave in your house an evil, a bad thing. We see the Shulchan Aruch is quoting a posuk and using it as a mekoy for halacha. And there are thousands and thousands of such cases. Klal Yisrael say, this week's parasha, this week's after, the Gemara in Yuma says, if a person counts Klal Yisrael is over and alav, because this week's after. Asher lo yumad v'lo yisofer. Klal Yisrael cannot be counted. Our avodah is every posuk in Tanakh, and just look at it with eyes. How does this apply to us? How can it change my life? Right. Now, what happens is like this. When we come to the Sefer of Rus, it's very, very important. Sefer of Rus is the most unbelievable Sefer. It teaches so much about Chesed, about Mono. But a person has to learn to extrapolate the ideas. We don't have fields that we go to do Leket Shikha and Peor. We don't have people coming from Moyov to join our nation. The whole avoid of learning Rus is to find ways to take the lessons of Rus and bring it to our lives. It is a big avoid. We've got a limited amount of time, so I'll just say a little bit. Just say what horrors, ideas. Chazal, Baba Basra, criticized Elimelech very, very strongly. And we mentioned this before, Elimelech was a great, great person, a very wealthy person from the family of Nachshon ben Aminadov. He had the best yichus, Elimelech, Eli Malchus, he deserved to be the king. And what happened to him? Nothing. None of his children survived. There's nobody alive today descended from Elimelech. He lost all of his money, his wife miscarried. Terrible, terrible things happened to him. And the world tries to analyze exactly what did he do wrong. And there's an interesting medrash. The medrash says that he was entitled not to support. It was too much. It was too much for him. The Malbim goes into this Malach, that there was a lack of law and order. He was scared for his life. The Medrash uses a Loshon that he created a Chalishus Hadas. What happened was, the poor people were knocking on his door, and suddenly they see that he's disappeared, and as he left the land, people felt, if he's going, if he can't survive here, how are we going to manage? And he created a tremendous amount of Chalishus Hadas. And therefore, for that, he was severely, severely punished. You can't be massive the punishments that he went through. Taking it again to what we can learn. There are many times when a person has to say no. A person can't always. Nowadays, there are so many campaigns and so many people asking. It is very hard for a person. It's impossible. A person sometimes has to say no. I'm sorry, I cannot help. What's very important is how a person says no. There's a way of saying no that makes a person feel encouraged, and there's a way of saying no that makes a person feel very discouraged. And that can be a huge difference. We pointed out once that in the middle of the night, Rus comes to Boaz, will you marry me? And what does he say? No, Shikhli Adabrika, you've got to wait, I can't do it, there's somebody older. And then he sends her back with 6 kernels of grain. And the Mefarshim will ask, what was the purpose of 6 kernels of grain? What can a woman possibly do with 6 kernels of grain? Okay, it was in a barn. There wasn't much she could have given. He was sleeping there. But 6 kernels of grain. And the Mefarshim explained, he wanted to show her that he cared for her, that he was thinking about her, that she shouldn't come out to Roy Reikam El Chamuseich. Don't come empty handed. I can't do what you want now. Maybe I'll be able to do it later. But don't come back empty handed. Don't reject out of hand. Show a certain amount of care.
Much care with 6 kernels?
6 kernels. But it was a remes. The Gemara says it was a remes. But the point is like this. He was giving her something. I know I owe you something. Right? I have to give you something. I said this over this story. I know the person that happened to. Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, I learned to be Yaakov for a few years. And he had a policy, an ancient policy. I'm not saying this policy is mukubal on everybody, and everybody has to ask the dastayo. But he had a policy that one doesn't say no to a shidduch after only one meeting, after only one date. And Mr. Bacher would meet a girl, and he would come back to the Rosh Hashiva and say that it was a terrible date. I have no interest in meeting her again. The Rosh Yeshiva had a policy, you don't say no. You can't go back to the Shatran and say no. Why? Because then it makes it sound as if the girl was so bad that it was so terrible that even a second chance is no point. You have to go for a second meeting. And then, I'm not saying a person has to recover this. This was his shitter. This is how he would advise. I always remember the story, I had a friend who lived in Zichron Yaakov, and he suggested a girl from Be'er Sheva. If you know the bit of the map of Eretz Yisrael, it said he told me it took him over 6 hours to get from one to the next, and they had a meeting, and it didn't work. And he said to the Rosh Yeshiva, there's no chance that this is going to work. And the Rosh Yeshiva said to him, no, you can't say no, it isn't nice. You're going to lose a whole day of learning, it's not worth it. And you can imagine the rest of the story. He went for a second date, and now they're happily married. But the point is like this, that what was Boaz was, Elimelech was criticized for, you have to say no. You can't let help the eaten, but don't leave like that. The whole matzav of leaving, show some sympathy, show some care. The fact that he made it in such a way which was discouraging. And this doesn't have to be just about money. Sometimes a child wants something, a person wants time, a person wants help. Don't be quick to don't put people down. And also it's important when it comes to Devi Chizuk as well, to go to Philip. If a person behaves in such a way, a person walks out of Shachris early, leaves early, and does it in a very ostentatious way. So everybody feels like there's a long chazan, you go to Minyan, and the chazan's schlepping, and everybody can't wait to get out. So if you have to leave, don't do it the way that makes everybody else want to leave as well. Do it quietly. There's a way of doing things which has a negative effect, and that is what Chazal were upset with Elimelech. Just another, as we said, we have to learn, this is the avoiders, to learn from Rus and Boaz. Rus comes to Boaz in the middle of the night, and she said, I want you to marry me. For Aslo Chonofecho Alamosecho, you should spread your wings or your cloak over your maidservant. And Chazal praised her very lot. She chose the most sneeristic way of speaking. How did Potiphar speak to Yosef? Boy, shichvo imi, come and lie with me. She used the most nonsense, the most vulgar way of speaking. But Rus, even when she had to ask for marriage, that's what Naomi, the Astrid, advised her to do, she was careful to use very sneeristic language, the most careful language she could. Once I heard from Falk Shlita, a very, very, very powerful point. Chazal Gemara in Pesachim tells us, where do we know the importance of speaking Beloshin Nekiyah? Where is the main source of Loshin Nekiyah? Right. By Parshas Noach, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sells Noach, take the animals into the teva, two of the ones which are toy, and two of the ones which are tommy, and seven of the ones which are toy. When it comes to the word tommy, it doesn't say tommy, Asheineno Tehoiva. That's the Gemara says, Asheineno Tehoiva. So he points out an interesting thing. The Mabul, what was the main aveir of the Mabul? Was Gilu Avos? Rashi in end of Bereshis tells us that the people in the world were being over on Mishkav Zohar, Mishkav Behemo, and even Ashes Ish, and Kala from the Chuppah. They were being over every part of Znus that a person can manage. But the land became Mushchas in Avos. Now you're being makbid about using the word to male. It's right, immorality is rampant. What difference does it make if you use the word tahoy or tamayo? The answer is that that's not true. As Mr. Sashomi, if you look carefully in Perek Aleph, says that lack of tzniyus in language is not just a gedder of not getting to a worse situation. It is an aveir on its own accord. Don't think the fact that the situation has gone terrible. And there's so much Gilu Avoyos, you can use any language you want. And that's important to person many times who feels that anyway he's not to that level, or he's speaking about something which he's forced to speak in a certain less pleasant language. The person still has to use his utmost power, his most abilities, to speak B'derech Tehoiva. Even when Noach was about to go on the table, with all the world going to Gilu Avoyos, he still made sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still made sure to use the Loshon Tehoiva. I don't know how much time we will have, because this is a tremendous avoider. Every pasuk in Rus, if a person looks at it carefully, he can learn in the whole way of life. And that is b'emes l'avoider. This is what the Eved HaMelech works very hard with. I'd like to pause for a bit and to talk about a slightly different topic. I remember about 10 years ago, the sons of Rebbe went to visit Rabbi Eliashiv. It was just before Shavuos. So he asked him, what should I tell the Hasidim to work Shavuos? What Kabbalah Satorah? Kabbalah Satorah, what mitzvah, what avodah should I tell the Hasidim to take on the Kuchvoid Kabbalah Satorah? And Rabbi Eliashiv gave a very typically literature answer, and again, everyone has to go to their das Torah. And he told the sons of Rebbe that they should take the Shulchan Aruch and open it up in the first volume and go through the Shulchan Aruch and be makpid of what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's a very litvish answer. You want from this chazak, go through the Shulchan Aruch, keep what the Shulchan Aruch says. That is how nice, and instead of finding some skula or something, that was his. And if a person was to open up Shulchan Aruch, first volume of Zerachayim, the first seif, the Ramah brings, the first halacha he brings is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. A person's got a mitzvah of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit, to constantly place the awareness of Hashem in front of him. And as we mind a little bit, tiny bit, there's a tremendous chokhmah and everything, but one point in the word Shivisi. What does the word Shivisi mean? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. Those who know a bit of Ivrit will tell you that if a person in Ivrit says one and one makes two, you say echad v'od echad shaveh shtayim. Shaveh means equal. Equal makes, it's equivalent. One and one makes two. Shvisi means equal. Shaveh, it's worth two. One and one is worth two. What's the possibility? Shvisi Hashem l'negdi somit. Why not samti Hashem l'negdi somit? Hemadeti Hashem l'negdi somit. Shvisi. Equal. I'd like to suggest three explanations, and each one's got tremendous avodah, tremendous lesson for us. There's an amazing Mishmushim Fol Hirsch at the end of Parshas Bereishis. What's remembered, Mishmushim Fol Hirsch changed the world. Saul Salanta said about him unbelievable things. And I never saw this Mishmushim Fol Hirsch on my own, so he showed it to me years ago. Tam Tvach showed it to me, and he said that he feels this Mishmushim Fol Hirsch should be on the fridge of every single Yid's house. It's a very interesting Mishmushim Fol Hirsch, very Mishmushim Fol Hirsh is the end of Parshas Bereishis. There the Pasuk says, Vayinochem Hashem ki oser es Adam. Hashem regretted that he created human beings. He regretted it. Mishmushim Fol Hirsch is Oymed, his questions, the very difficult point over here. That Hashem regretted, regret is a very human emotion. It's a human emotion. Regret. It is obvious to anybody who has any musogim, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we have no musogim about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the very least we know that the concept of regret does not exist by Hashem. Hashem is Echad, Yochid, Meyuchad. He has no past, no future, no present. He doesn't have the concept and emotions like we have that change and come and go. So the word Vayinochem Hashem is a very strange thing to say about Hashem, such a human emotion. It's a question. The truth is, this question exists in many, many places in the Torah. Mishmushim Fol Hirsch points that out. He says, I'm only questioning it over here because this is the first place that the Torah uses such a human midah, such a human description about a God that we know, that we have no musogim about. And he says like this, there are two contrasting, opposing mistakes that a person can make regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is, chas v'shalom, a terrible mistake, to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, human. That he has human attributes, he has human capacities, and that's a big mistake. Ein no guf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a body. V'lo yasigeyu masigeyu guf, says the Rambam. A person who has a body will never have any hasoga in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a terrible mistake which a person can make to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, so to speak, human attributes. But there's another mistake, says Mishmushim Fol Hirsch, the opposite side of the coin. And that mistake is to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so lofty and is so holy and so spiritual that a person has no connection to him whatsoever. It's like a spiritual thing, it's like a theoretical idea that a person has no connection, a person can't connect to something which he has no shaychus to. That's also a terrible mistake. Because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to every human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close. A person can have a shaykhis and a relationship with Hashem. So there are two contrasting problems a person can have. One is to make Hashem very equal in his eyes to the extent that he thinks Hashem is a body. And the other one is to make him so spiritual as to have absolutely no connection to Hashem. Says B'Shem Shafal Hirsch, if it wasn't B'Shem Shafal Hirsch, we'd never be able to say such a thing. When the Torah had a choice, which mistake people are more likely to fall into, the Torah preferred that we should more likely fall into the mistake of thinking that we understand Hashem and that in some ways we can relate to Him as a body. And that is why the Torah consistently refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in descriptions which seem to make Him human. Even though we know it's not true, and even though that Hashem has no connection to us, but lest the person might make the bigger mistake, he says, of thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so spiritual that we have no connection to Him whatsoever. Therefore, the Torah preferred to use language which could make us fall into the other trap. We have a choice of two traps. Better this one, because its damage is less than the other one, which makes it that a person has no shaykhus to Hashem. It's amazing of Shem Shemafol Hirsch. It's unbelievable, powerful words. There's a famous joke of Ori Zohar. Ori Zohar did a tremendous thing when he became from. I met people who told me that when he became from, non-from people, they were so shaken that for weeks they started going to Shiurim because they were shaken. He was a comedian, successful comedian we came from. And the last time he was on the television, they said to him, "Dude, tell us one last joke. One last joke." So he told them a joke about a police officer who hated Haredim, and he's an undercover police car, and he sees a Haredi person traveling on a motorbike. And he decides he's going to give him a ticket, come what may. So he follows him behind this undercover car. And every time he waits, let him just not indicate once. Let him just 1 mile over the speed limit. Anything to catch a ticket, something. And he follows him and follows him. And it's impossible. He doesn't get it. He doesn't give him a chance. Eventually pulls him over. He says, "You know, I've been following you around. Nobody drives like you. It's impossible. You know, sometimes a person doesn't indicate a little bit. Doesn't stop somewhere. How can it be?" So what did he answer? He said, "Oh, Hashem is with me." "Oh, you've got two people on a motorbike." He gives him a ticket. And he said, what was the message? We think it's a complete joke. Because we think, oh, Hashem is a spiritual, and it is true. We've got no musig, and of course there's no such thing as. But the musig that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we have a connection to Him. We can have a shaykhus to Him. That is a very, very, very important message. And that says B'Shem Shafal Hirsch and tell him Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Why Shivisi? Russian Shava equal. Says B'Shem Shafal Hirsch. There are those who make the mistake of thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so above them that they have no shaykhus to Him whatsoever. But I, says David HaMelech, do not make that mistake. I Shivisi Hashem in my eyes is Shava, is equal, meaning I can connect to Him. There's an equalness between me and Him. I can have a relationship with Him. That is the avoid of Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samad. B'Shem Shafal Hirsch is full of this idea that a person has to be able to develop a shaykhus like the Shmuch, a person has to feel a connection. Of course, we don't have any understanding of who Hashem is, but Shivisi Hashem, I have a shaykhus, an equalness to Hashem. That was the first I want to suggest about the idea of Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samad. There's another pshat from the Baal Shem Tov, very interesting pshat. He says like this, the Chumash of Avos tells us one of the highest middas that a person can have is Midas Ha'ishtavus. Chumash of Avos calls it Midas Ha'ishtavus, which means a mida that a person does not have any difference, is equal to him, whether he gets criticized or whether he gets complimented. It makes no difference to him whatsoever how people relate to him. Chumash of Avos puts that as one of the highest madrigas a person can reach. If a person knows he's doing the right thing, it makes no difference. Somebody criticizes and compliments him. If a person knows he's doing the wrong thing, it makes no difference. Midas Ha'ishtavus. And the Chumash of Avos explains that it's one of the aleph base of serving Hashem. A person who's constantly worried about what people are thinking and doing or saying about him. So then what happens is, instead of serving Hashem, he's serving the people around him. As much as a person is uninterested in what the people around him are expecting him to do, the more he's devoted to serving Hashem. Shmuel Pinkas once said, that the reason why we find quiet Shmuel Esther so hard is because nobody in the world knows what our thoughts are. And we've become programmed to do things right because people are watching us. But nobody in the world knows what I'm thinking about during Shemoneh Esrei. And therefore it's only what my real level is. It's a frightening thing. He says similarly, interesting things Shmuel Shpukis is saying. How a person treats his wife in total privacy is a strong reflection of the midas that he has. Because a person has a neighbor, knocks on the door, he's all smiles, how can I help you, or you want to borrow this, fine, pleasure. The door closes, nobody sees him, and his wife does something which doesn't like a little bit, and gets critical and irritable straight away. Why? Because everyone else is trying to impress. It's his own, but with his wife, a person doesn't want to impress for a variety of reasons. A person has an inner world of what he really exists, and a superficial world which he shows to everybody else. And the avoid of being able to develop that inner world, how a person feels, thinks, his connection, real connection to Hashem, is very dependent on how caught up he is on the external world, in the superficial world. If a person is busy all the time, only thinking about what other people consider about him, then he has never spent a moment developing who he is as a person, what his connection to Hashem is. The Sefer Kodeshom Dachi Hashem Babinus and Eber Mashkiach Dead, so it's a very new Sefer, it's Mamish. It's a worth its weight in gold. Mamish, unbelievable Sefer. And he writes there that one of the concerns of nowadays is that we've become such a society which is so dependent on social pressure that we have very little time to think about who we are. And he says, if you want to measure the greatness of a person, it's not his hands, it's not his legs, it's his heart. How much love exists in his heart for Hashem? How much fear of Hashem? How much emunah? How much chesed? How much kindness? It's all in the heart. But the heart is something that nobody ever else sees. And therefore to develop it requires that a person should have ability to connect to that. A person standing in a shop, waiting in a queue. What's he thinking about? Nowadays a person doesn't need to do anything at all. He can get his phone out and do some texting or something. But the reality is, there should be moments where a person's with himself. There's a story, I find this unbelievable story, the Chazon Ish. There was somebody called Shlomo Lawrence, who was very close to the Chazon Ish. And he set up an organization with a few other people called Tzayit, Syria Agudat Yisrael. It was an organization of Machas, of Askonim, that the prime role was that they listened to Da'as Torah. The Chazon Ish held very strongly of this organization. He wrote very nice letters to them. So one time, in order to show them how much he appreciates it, he told Shlomo Lawrence, next time you have a meeting, invite me. So he was very excited. The Chazon Ish is coming to our meeting. Can you imagine we make a meeting here about some Kehillah issue? And the Chazon Ish from Chaim Kanievsky would come in. It was unbelievable. So he there's a time, and he goes to Chazon Ish's house, and he walks in there, and the Chazon Ish sits there through the whole meeting, and they talk and talk, and then he's walking the Chazon Ish home. He says, Chazon Ish, no. So what do you think of our meeting? The Chazon Ish said to him, I never heard a single word that was said at the meeting. I never heard a single word. I was there just to show you that I approve of it. But I actually didn't hear a word of what was being discussed. I can't tell you anything about the meeting. The Chazon Ish had the inner world. He was caught up with his Avoda, his Gemara he was thinking about, his Yer Shemayim, his Avos Hashem, his Sfeininus. Imagine being able to go to a meeting and coming out of there without knowing a word that was discussed in the meeting. It's unbelievable. That's an inner world. Says the Baal Shem Tov, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somed. We ask the question, why use the word Shivisi? Shivisi, we should say, Madati, Samti. Shivisi, says the Baal Shem Tov, Shivisi, everything in this world, criticism and compliments, Shivisi, it's all equal in my eyes, says the Baal Shem Tov. Why? Because Hashem Lenegdi Somed. Because I know I'm standing in front of Hashem, and the only person I care about is Hashem's criticism or compliments. What does he think of me? A simple marshal, a person standing in front of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and Chaim Kanievsky is talking to him and telling him this is what you should be doing, compliments him on A, criticizes him on B, and there's a 5-year-old little child standing there, and the 5-year-old says to him, I don't think you should be doing this. And you're not going to be listening to the 5-year-old. God that I do is speaking to you, telling you what's right and what's wrong. You don't care. Another boss would be if you would hear little ants crawling in the street, crawling on the road, thousands of them, they're talking to each other about what you're doing. It doesn't mean anything. Shivisi says about Hashem Tov, everything that happens in this world is all equal. I don't care what people say. Why? Because Hashem is an empty summit. Because I'm standing in front of Hashem, so the only person I care about is opinions of Hashem. Just a 1/3 and final shot was Shivisi. Because we just said that's the ikkar, that's the first aleph base. Chalom Basman asks the question, I'll say this briefly, Chalom Basman asks the question, how can we expect every bar mitzvah boy to have a munah when you've got great philosophers that manage to get themselves all mixed up? And he says that the obvious, that the munah in Hashem is an obvious thing, it's as clear as can be. It's a beautiful story about Evan Ezra, that there was an Arab that asked him, prove to me Hashem. And one time he walked into the Arab's house, and the Arab spent a long time with poetry. In those Middle Ages, they were very busy with poetry, and the Arab would spend hours and hours, and he'd written six lines of poetry. And Evan Ezra was a tremendous chochem in language, finished off the poem. So what happened was, the Arab came in, he was amazed. Wow, what you've written is much better. So Evan Ezra said, I never wrote it. A bottle of ink was standing next to your place, you were planning to write later. It spilt, and it formed these letters. The Arab said, how can you say such things? It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So he said, well, that's the most ridiculous thing that you've ever thought of, is to think that the world could have come by itself. The ideas of Hashem is clear. The problem is, taivas and aveiras and all kinds of cheshbonis confuse a person and take a person away. Shivisi means to level things out, to equal. Shivisi, I've cleared all the blocks. I've taken away all the confusion, I've taken away all the misconceptions and all the taivas, and therefore Hashem l'neg disom. It was said three malchim and shivisi, ada shivisi loshin equal, says Moshul Shaval Hirsch, that person has to have an equal shy ability to connect to Hashem and seem as an equal on some level to be able to connect. And when we had the shivisi, that everything, all the midas ha'ishtavos, that all that happens is equal. And thirdly, shivisi, I've taken away all the blocks in order to be able to connect to Hashem. Now we're going to go back to what we started off with. We said that the avoid of learning Rus is that a person has to take every single posuk and try and learn and apply it to his own life. I want to say a very short ha'or, but somebody showed it to me and I was very spoiled. It's a famous drush. Peliyoyitz even mentions this. Peliyoyitz, can you imagine? He said to those who speak short, this is Peliyoyitz says, those who speak in short, Hashem imochem, Hashem is with you. Says the Peliyoyitz, a person shouldn't drag out a topic. Speak about a topic, move on. Don't drag it out. To those who speak short, Hashem imochem. Vemes the Gemara Pesachim says, if you can, say something in short, say it in short, because you say it long, it's tedious, the person's mind doesn't take it in, it disturbs him. If you have the opportunity to teach Torah, teach it derech ketzor. So suddenly show me an unbelievable horror. You know, the Rambam, besides for being very careful how he says things, is also very careful where he puts things. Where would you put that halacha, or that when you teach Torah, you should teach it derech ketzor? Where would you put that halacha? So everybody would say, Hilchas Talmud Torah. Where does the Rambam put this halacha? In Hilchas Deos, in Midas. Because it's not just lack of Talmud Torah, it's lack of basic derech eretz. When a person asks you to say something and you go on for much too long, it's not just a lack of Talmud Torah, it's a lack of derech eretz as well. It's interesting to that. I know it's a very short thing, but you have to be aware of it. The Anshich in Rus is very busy, about this Nekudim, that Boaz, the Chazal say, gave Rus a few kernels. And Chazal say, had he known what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to write about him, he would have given him fattened calves. And Chazal say the same thing by Reuven, when he saved Yosef, by Amon, when he came to visit meet Moshe, and by Boaz. And that the Al-Sheikh explains that the Chazal want to tell us that there are three different ways that a person has to appreciate the greatness of every mitzvah. He says, by Reuven, people could have been choshed that the reason he was doing it was not l'shem shemaim, was for his own benefit. By Aaron, people could have been choshed that he was doing it to flatter Moshe. And by Boaz, people could have thought that he was doing it because he liked Rus, not l'shem shemaim. And in all of these three cases, the Torah says that they should have ignored what people might have thought and done the mitzvah b'shleimus. And now it says that when a person does a mitzvah, v'yakshev, oz nidvu yivei Hashem ishel ve'eyu, says the Arshich, ish is referring to Eliyahu HaNavi, like ish tishpi, ish oila, the Pasuk describes Eliyahu HaNavi as ish. El ve'eyu is his friend. Who's the friend of Eliyahu HaNavi? Says the Arshich, it's Mashiach, because they're planning to come together. V'yakshev Hashem, whenever a person does a mitzvah, he has to be aware that ish is Eliyahu HaNavi, ve'eyu is Mashiach, V'yakshev Hashem, that all three of them are sitting and examining and praising a person for a mitzvah. It's a tremendous avodah to appreciate the chashivos of every small act that a person does. Every small mitzvah, every word of Torah, every small act of chesed is a huge mitzvah. That's one of the lessons that we learn from us. This is an interesting sefer called Lekech HaLib BaLibov. It says a very interesting thing from the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh says, there are 12 months in the year, we all know that. Nisan Tadar, 12 months. There are 12 Shvatim, we all know that as well. Everybody, every child knows 12 Shvatim. It says the Zohar Kodesh, the 12 months are connected to 12 Shvatim. Each month is the Avodah specifically for a special Shevet. And says the Zohar Kodesh, which way do you start from? Like Parshas Bamidbar, this week's Parashah, you start from Yehuda, the first deck of Achli Yehuda, look at the Torah, starts with Yehuda. Then Yisachar, then Zvulun. Today is Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the third month. So which Shevet is today? Zvulun. Yehuda Yisachar Zvulun. Fidebode could think, Matan Torah. Matan Torah is in the month of Zvulun. So the Lekech Valibov develops this a lot if a person got a chance to look inside. But the Ikin HaKod is as follows. When a person who's a Zvulun goes out to work to support his family, to support others in Torah, and he's careful to keep business, he is the one that the Ikka Torah was given for. That's what he says. Torah person, what's the Nafkimina? Whether a person's business or not, it's not going to change whether he hears this word or not. But the Ikka Nakud is like this. If Chas V'Shalom a person feels that by being a Zvulun, he has in some level not reached 100%, is some tiny failure in his life, nothing breeds failure than thinking that a person has already failed episodes. A person has to realize there's not a failure whatsoever. It's 100% success. And that is why the Torah was given in the month of Zvulun. He's very marich about it. In Bechukei say Telechu, says a word like this, Telechu, Balechtech Baderech, the Gemara always says, Telechu is always referring to avoid in this world. The Iker avoid where Shmuch gave the Torah, the Iker Kiddush Hashem of Torah, is that a person should learn, should go out to the work, but carry on in Bechukei side, to do it with Torah. And that's why Shmuch specifically chose the month of Sivan, which is the month of Kabbalah Satir, was miyuchat for Shevet Zvulun, because Shevet Zvulun, that is the success of Torah. A person has to appreciate this. A person has to understand that this is Bemis' success. As we know, nowadays not everybody is able to support themselves and learn at the same time, but that Tanoim and the Meroim did that. But the fact is, the person has to realize that this is the Nekud of the Zohar Kodesh, that the months go according to the Shvatim, Sivan is the month of Zvulun, Kabbalah Satir is the month of Zvulun. A person has to teach this to himself and to his family, that we have to realize what a tremendous bracha and success it is that he's a Zvulun, that he's able to keep Torah while he goes out into Torah Eretz. Amen.